Thank you for joining me today. As we have been learning, God is power. And we're reading about the awesome power of God in the Bible. We started with the power of God as evidenced in the creation of the world, Genesis 1, and then in the destruction of the world through the flood, Genesis 7. And then we came all the way over to the New Testament and got in the boat with Jesus and his disciples on the stormy sea of Galilee. That was in Luke chapter 8, and that is where we return today. We're going to be walking through Luke 8 for a number of days, witnessing the power of Jesus Christ, who is, of course, God in human flesh. Jesus is the God-man. In these verses in Luke 8, Jesus calms the storm, exorcises or casts out demons from a man, heals a bleeding woman, and raises a little girl from the dead. Let's move on now and talk about the demoniac. Following the boat ride in which Jesus and his disciples arrive perfect safety, because Jesus used his power to command the winds and the seas, they came to the land of the Gerasenes. Listen to Luke chapter 8 and verse 26. This is exactly what the text tells us. This is Luke chapter 8 and verse 26. Then they sailed to the country of the Gerasenes, which is opposite Galilee, where they landed the boat and disembarked is a stretch of land along the lake, and when Jesus gets there, he is greeted by a naked homeless man who has been possessed by demons. This has forced the man outside the city to live by the tombs. This is the terrifying reality of demons, the fallen angels who are now under the command of Satan himself. To have demons take up residence in a person's body is real. This is not a made-up story, something to sensationalize the life of Christ. Demons exist. They did then, and they do now, and they will until their final and everlasting judgment by God, as described in the book of the Revelation. And we will see more about this judgment even in this text. While demons cannot ever possess the genuine Christian person, they absolutely can enter into a person who does not possess the Holy Spirit. Any of you listening to me right now who are not Christians are susceptible to demons coming to live in you. And look what they did to this man. Let's pick up our reading at verse 29. This is Luke chapter 8 and verse 29. And yes, I am skipping over verse 28 for a moment. I will come back to it. Luke 8, verse 29 reads, "For Jesus had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man, for it had seized him many times. And he was bound with chains and shackles and kept under guard, and yet he would break his bonds and be driven by the demon into the desert." As I said, we will come back to what Jesus says and does, but notice that this demon was so powerful that the man was bound with chains and shackles and kept under guard. That's really upsetting, especially for the man and those who know him, love him, his family members. And imagine being the guards. They bind him with chains and shackles, and still the demon surges within this guy such that the bonds are broken and he runs wild into the desert. He's out of control. I mean, no wonder this man wore no clothes and was not living within a house, but outside the population among those ancient tombs. Who would want to see this? Who would not be afraid of such a demon-possessed person? And by the way, in Matthew's account of what happened when Jesus and the disciples got off the boat, there were actually two demon-possessed men, but only one of them talks. It's the one who speaks in verse 28 that Luke focuses on. And that is what I want us to hear now as we return to verse 28 of the text. We're still in Luke 8 and now verse 28. "Seeing Jesus, he cried out and fell before him and said in a loud voice, 'What business do we have with each other, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I beg you, do not torment me.'" Okay, now with this verse, I want to begin to give you some insights into the power of Jesus Christ. I won't be able to get to everything I want to say today, so we'll carry this true story into next time. And the first point I want to make to you is this. The demons know who Jesus is, and therefore they know that he is all-powerful. The response of the demons here and elsewhere in the Gospels demonstrates for us that Jesus has authoritative power over Satan and his minions. Let's see this now just in the response of Jesus here in Luke 8, 28. And I will do some cross-referencing to Matthew 8 as well. So Luke 8 and Matthew 8. It is easy to remember. So listen to the words with me and or look at them if you have your Bible open in front of you. The demon speaks from within the man and says, "What business do we have with each other?" That is actually an idiom in the Hebrew language that reads, "What to me and to you? What to me and to you?" We have plenty of idioms in English as well. Beat around the bush, better late than never, this kind of saying. Demons are not unintelligent. This one, or shall we say these ones, and more on that next week, actually use Hebrew idioms in their speech. They talk, they communicate, and they do so in languages that people can understand. Demons can communicate. And then the demon says this, "Jesus, Son of the Most High God." Now, I urge you to highlight this in your Bible. These demons know their theology. They know the truth. They just do not practice the truth. They do not love the truth. And they do not tell the truth to others. They do not. It is completely true that Jesus is the Son of the Most High God. Jesus is God's Son. This reminds us of what another demon said to Jesus back in Luke chapter 4 and verse 34. "Let us alone. What business do we have with each other, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." That's Luke 4:34, and that's true too. Jesus is the Holy One of God. The demons know who Jesus is. And now back to Luke chapter 8 and verse 28. The demon says to the Lord, "I beg you, do not torment me." Now that line right there demonstrates the power of Jesus. Why would the demon beg not to be tormented by Jesus? Obviously, this powerful demon, remember what he has done to the man, believes that Jesus has the authority to torment. And torment is a telling word choice. It's a fascinating word in the Greek language, and it means a tormenting trial or using torture. A tormenting trial and using torture. Back in Matthew's gospel, we have an insight that allows me to expand on the point I'm making to you. Jesus has authoritative power over Satan and his minions. I'll turn in my Bible back to Matthew chapter 8 and verse 29. This is the same exact encounter from a different perspective. "What business do we have with each other, Son of God? Have you come here to torment us before the time?" There is Son of God again, correctly identifying Jesus for who he is, and there is the begging not to torment. Same word in the Greek as used in Luke 8. And the demonic force adds, "Torment us before the time." Now, what does that mean? What it means is this: the demonic forces know that Jesus is God, and they know that Jesus Christ will be their judge at an appointed time in the future, before the time. There's a specific time when Jesus will exercise his full power to destroy, absolutely annihilate once and for all, Satan and his army, all the fallen angels. Now, this is really going to be exciting. And listen now to this exact time written about in Revelation chapter 20 and verse 10. I'm reading the Revelation of Jesus Christ, chapter 20 and verse 10. "And the devil who deceived them was thrown into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are also. And they will be tormented day and night forever and ever." There it is. The time. And did you hear the word torment again? It's right there in Revelation 20, verse 10, and it's the same Greek word used in Luke 8 and Matthew 8. They will be tormented day and night forever and ever. Jesus, power, authority. God is power, and the devil and his demons know the time is coming when they will perish forever in the lake of fire and brimstone. They will be tortured, tormented, always and forever. And so, now back to Matthew 8, and the demon in the country of the Gadarenes asks, "Have you come here to torment us before the time?" And the time the demon asks about is in Revelation 20 and verse 10. Do you see how the whole Bible fits together? Here's my point. The demons know who Jesus is, and therefore they know he is all-powerful. The response of the demons here and elsewhere in the Gospels demonstrates for us that Jesus has authoritative power over Satan and his minions. God has total power over Satan. And please get this, Jesus does not have to wait until that time, described in the Revelation, to use his power to deal with demons. Luke 8, verse 29. Jesus commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man. And then, jumping ahead for a minute to Luke chapter 8 and verse 33, and the demons came out of the man. We will see this in much fuller detail on Monday, but for now, you need to know that Jesus' power is immediate. Right there, among the tombs by the lake, the Lord speaks and out come the demons, and this man is healed. And again, much, much more on this next time. I cannot emphasize enough to you the importance of actually reading the Bible. My responsibility is to assist you in understanding what the Bible means by what it says, but I cannot do this effectively. No Bible teacher can unless you read the text. And so this weekend, I really, really want you to read Luke 8, verses 22 through 56. Some of you have done this already. Good. Read it again. In these verses, Jesus uses his power to calm the storm, exorcise or cast out demons from a man, heal a bleeding woman, and raise a little girl from the dead. Thus far, we have talked about the power to calm the storm, and we're halfway through the story of the power to cast out demons. Next week, we will finish watching Jesus' exorcism, and then we'll move along to talk about healing the woman and the resurrection of a little girl. This all happened. It's not fiction. It's truth. And the Holy Spirit will apply what we are learning to our lives in this modern age of raging storms, demonic aggression, physical illnesses, and dead souls. So please be with me right here weekdays on this same station at this same time. And I look forward to being back with you again on Monday, for God is...